Oh, this is the day the Lord has made. Amen. We will rejoice. The sun is shining. Temperature is still a little cold, but that's all right. You know, praise the Lord. Ain't nothing we can do. It's good to see you, my brother. Really good to see you, my brother. Yes. But anyway, we want to welcome all that's here today. Visitors, if it's your first time, we want to welcome you here. We want to thank you. We are the Whosoever Church, and what that means is whosoever you are, you're welcome. Regardless of your past, regardless of even what you're doing now, regardless of where you come from, you know what I mean, you're welcome in this church. We here, we're everyday people who love Jesus. We love Jesus. I want to share something real quick. You know, Brother Priest does adult Sunday school downstairs. You know, it's his rotation. He's been doing the whole book of Revelation. And it's been good. If you're missing adult Sunday school, you are really missing a blessing. You truly are. But, you know, he was talking about the Church of Smyrna this morning and about their faithfulness and the sacrifices. You know, last week he had talked about Polycarp. And for those of you who don't know about Polycarp, Polycarp was you're talking about a good man of God, you know, and he sacrificed his life. They killed him because he would not renounce Jesus Christ or God as his God. They killed him. I mean, and it was a horrible death. For those of you, you know, I mean, it's the Book of Martyrs. I believe it's the, what is it, Larry? Fox Book of Martyrs. You know, if anybody want to read about people's faithfulness and their commitment and what they went through for the sake of Jesus Christ, and I'm going to give you a little warning. It's a little graphic, but it tells you what people went through for Jesus Christ and for God, serving God. And, you know, he had also shared, and I think I might have known this, but he said that more Christians have been persecuted and killed in this 20th century than any century combined around the world. And it's knocking at our door here in America. It's knocking at our door, you know, and we need to be ready. I want to share a story with you that I've heard several years ago, and I'm sure some of y'all might have heard that. At a service like this on a Sunday morning, we had a service and the church had people in it just like this. And then all of a sudden, three guys or four guys came in from both doors, and all of them had automatic weapons and they had masks on. And they came in, and one came up front and said, "We're going to kill every person in here, every Christian in here. We're here to kill." And you know that this is happening all around the world. Just happening in Germany here last week, where they went in and killed a bunch of people. And so anyway, they came in, they said, "We're going to kill everybody in here that professes that Jesus Christ is Lord. All of you are going to die." He says, "But you have an opportunity. We're going to give you an opportunity today. If you say that you denounce Jesus Christ, you can walk out the door right now. And if you don't, we're going to kill you right where you are." And he says, "So I'm giving you an opportunity right now. Everybody in here, if you want to die, say that you're not going to denounce him. And if you want to live, all you got to do is stand up and walk out the door." How many of you think walked out the door? All of them. All of them except maybe two or three. All of them except two or three. Yes. Yes. You know, we all say that we're going to sacrifice for Jesus. We all say we're going to die for God. We all do that until you're facing a barrel in your face. And so when everybody got up and walked out, there was three or four men left, sit there. They was all ready to die. He said, "Now we can have church. Now we can have church." And they pulled off their masks. And they had church. Because those who were still there were serious about having church. You understand what I'm saying? That very well could happen here. We don't know. But let me tell you something. I say this all the time. You know, we're in a win-win situation if you're in Christ. Somebody can come in here right now and shoot me right here in my head. Praise the Lord, because I'm going to be with Jesus. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. But if you are out here shimming and shamming, half-stepping, let me tell you something. So once again, you know, I know all of y'all, when you heard that, I'm going to sit, I'm going to stay here. You never know until something like that happens. Y'all remember, I believe it was Sandy Hook, when the kids got killed in the high school, and it was just that one little girl. They said, you know, we're going to kill everybody who say they love Jesus. And that one little girl said, I love Jesus. And they shot her in the head, killed her. But you know where she is now? She's with Jesus. She's with Jesus. Amen. So, you know, I'm just going to say this. Persecution is coming. It's coming. It's knocking on our door. There's 6 to 8 pastors 29 miles north of us in prison right now for preaching the gospel. Do you know that? They're in prison right now for preaching the gospel. And it's knocking at our door. Amen. And, you know, I don't know. I see some here. Some of you I don't know or recognize you. I don't know if you're a plant from the government or not. But if you are, go back and tell them we're preaching Jesus. We're going to preach the gospel. The entire gospel. We ain't leaving nothing out. We ain't leaving not one thing out. We're not adding to it and we're not taking away from it. We're going to preach the gospel. And if they come and they want to put me in prison, just take up a little fun for me. So I can have some commissary, give me some sticky buns and potato chips and, you know, some coffee and stuff. Just take up a little offering for me every week so I can put it in my commissary. And I'll be back in jail preaching the gospel. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. And I mean that. I mean that. But anyway, we're glad that you're here this morning. And we are a God-fearing church. We believe in the power of prayer. As I look around the room and I see people who have been sick and in the hospital, and now they're here this morning. Sister Gia, we are so glad that you're here. Yeah, Sister Gia went through a bout. She was in the hospital for several days, but now she's up in here. And I can look around and there's others also who are going through it that are here now. The power of prayer. Matter of fact, each and every one of y'all are here because of the power of prayer. Amen. So we don't take it lightly. We're a God-fearing church here. And what I mean by that is we don't play with God. We don't call him the big man upstairs. We don't call him buddy, pal, a higher power, or nothing else. He's God and God Almighty. That's who he is. And that's what we're going to do. We're going to reverence him. We're a God-fearing church. So I'm going to ask you to take a posture of reverence with us as we go to the throne of God today. Father, we come before you this morning, giving you all the honor, glory, and praise. We thank you, Lord, for waking us up another day. Not only did you wake us up another day, Lord, you woke us up in our right mind. That we know who we are in Christ and who Christ is within us. That we know that there's only one living and true God and only one holy God. So, Lord, we thank you, Father God, for giving us that illumination. Lord, we pray, Father God, for the unborn today. We pray, Father God, for those mothers and those in those butcher places, oh, Father God, that you will move upon their hearts, that they will not murder them children. Lord, every child is a gift from God. Every child that is conceived is a gift from God, and you have a purpose and a plan, regardless of how they're conceived. And Lord, we don't condone having sex outside of marriage, but Lord, we know it happens. Lord, I'm one of those. I'm a product of that. But Lord, every gift you have a purpose for. So Lord, we call upon you today, Father, to move upon the hearts of the mothers and those that are killing these babies. And Lord, we pray for our children that are here. We commit them unto you this day, that you have set them apart from the world and that they will serve you all the days of their life, that you will keep them from the snares and the traps of the enemy. Lord, I pray for the universal church. Lord, there's been so much compromise. But Lord, let us not compromise. We ask, oh Father God, that you move upon the hearts of each and every under shepherd and leaders in the church, that we will stand for righteousness and holiness. We will not bound our knee to the world and compromise. We will not bring the world into the church, but we'll take the church out into the world. and not be ashamed of the gospel, oh Lord Jesus, that we won't be closet Christians. Everybody else has come out the closet. So Lord, give us the boldness that we need, oh Father God, to go out into the world to be what you called us to be, the light and salt. Lord, I pray, Father God, that you would touch every person that's sick in their bodies. Lord, Brother John that's home, Lord, and so many others that are home sick in their bodies or injured. Lord, we pray for those, Father God, who are just oppressed and possessed by the enemy. Lord, we ask, Father God, that you would just touch them for deliverance. We ask for healing, deliverance, and more so for salvations. I pray that anybody's here this morning that have not surrendered their life to Jesus, that you will move upon their hearts by the Spirit. That before they walk out of here, Lord, their names will be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So, Lord, just open up our ears this morning. Let it be no distractions, no hindrances for what you have to bring forth today. Lord, everything in me that is not of you, take it out by any means necessary. Whatever it might be, oh, Father God, the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, or the pride of life, Lord, take it out of me by any means necessary. I bind it in the mighty name of Jesus and send it to the pits of hell. Everything that's not in me that needs to be in me, I ask that you put it in me this morning. Not only me, but all of us. The mind of Christ, the heart of Christ, the integrity, the character, and the nature, the compassion, the love of Christ. Put it in us, O Father God, that we can bring glory to your name. And I pray these things in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Amen and amen. You know, last week, for those of you who was here, we had a little mishap, didn't we? Yes, and I heard that Brother Larry went back and said to Elder, I thought Pastor said we wasn't going to have no smoke machines in the church. We had a little smoke in the church last week, amen? But it wasn't no smoke machine. But praise the Lord, hopefully we don't have that today. Well, we hope that there's a fire fall. We pray that the fire of the Holy Ghost will fall this morning. You know, yeah, that we were truly, I tell you, worship was good this morning. I don't know about you, boy, but I felt the presence of the Holy Ghost this morning. Praise the Lord. Stirred me up. Praise the Lord. But anyway, you know, I don't really give titles to sermons. And let me say something. It's not my sermon. Because if it was my sermon, it'd run all y'all out of here. Amen. This is the word of the Lord that I'm proclaiming today here. It's the word of the Lord. And so my prayer is that you'll have ears to hear and receive what God has to say to us today. Amen. If you turn your book to the book of Isaiah 54 and verse 17, and while you're turning there, you know, if I was to get, kids, Sunday school, Lord, I forgot all about the kid. Children's church for the kids. Jeremy, go have a good time. Behave. All right. She's waiting down there for you at the thing. Yes. Isaiah 57. I'm sorry, Isaiah 57, 17. And for those of you who are here for the first time, I want you to know that we have issues. You probably can already tell that we are a church of issues. Isaiah 54, 17. Isaiah 54, 17. Huh? I'm sorry. 54, 17. I told y'all. Uh-huh. Good somebody keeping track with me. Amen. Praise the Lord. Are you there? One, two more amens. No weapon that is formed against thee. Who's the thee? Put your name there. I love when I read the word, I put my name there for the these. You know, because God is speaking to me. And he's speaking to you directly. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. And every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. Let me read that again. This is so powerful. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. Are you a servant of the Lord? So this is what he's saying to you. I don't care what the enemy brings to you. He says, it will not prosper. It will not prosper, he says. And the enemy is at us like no time, like nobody's business, because he knows his time is short, because Jesus can come back at any second. At any second now, he can come back. But we need to be ready, church. And we need to know that we should not have any fear of the enemy. And do you know, so many people think, you know, Satan is like, you know, like on the pictures and the cartoons with the red suit, with the horns and the tail and the pitchfork. No, no, no. He comes as an angel of light. He comes as an angel of light. He's a deceiver. He's a deceiver. And he will deceive you and trick you if you don't know what's true. If you don't know the word of God, he will get a hold of you. But my Bible tells me no weapon formed against me shall prosper. And then it says every tongue that rise up against me in judgment, thy shall condemn. So y'all better be careful when y'all talk about pastor. Be careful. Bible says, touch not my anointed. Praise the Lord. But anyway, I know y'all only say good things about me. I know that. Maybe in other churches, but not here. Amen. Praise the Lord. Right, Vera? All right. Praise the Lord. Now, let's turn to the book of Esther. Let's go to the book of Esther. I tell you, you know, the Lord gave me this here maybe a week or so ago. And all week long, I've been hearing teachings on Esther. All week long, I've been hearing Dr. David Jeremiah. Dr. Edward Lutzer and a couple more. Every time I turn on the Christian radio, if I'm listening to some, you know, it's been talking about Esther. And I'm thinking, all right, Lord, as I'm reading in my devotions, guess what my devotions was on this morning? Esther. And I'm thinking, all right, Lord. I said, I preached Esther before many times. Y'all know that. But I'm going to preach it again. Because I believe God has something new in here for. Do you know that God's word is a living word? Do you know that? And every day that we live, we run into something new, don't we? Something always new. You know, as I read the scriptures and things, I've read them for years and years and years. And sometimes things jump out at me like, where has that been? I didn't realize that. I didn't see that. I didn't perceive that. But sometimes God will allow us not to retain or understand something because of the different times or the stages that we are in him. You know, I remember when I first read the Bible, when I was first saved. You know, I read the Bible. I thought, you know, I had it. But as I grew in Christ, I started having a deeper understanding. I start having an understanding where I could take it and I could glean it. Gleaning is meant when you pick it up. And retain it is when you put it in you. And then, not only that, to apply it to my daily life. You see, what good is it to have the word of God if you don't apply it? Ain't no good. But anyway, the book of Esther. I'm going to, for sake of reading the whole thing. Esther was a Jewish woman. And King Ahasuerus, he was the king, and he was having a big function about a month long. All of the people in the kingdom and all the people that was out, you know, the different kingdoms, whatever, he invited them to have a big party. And it lasted about a month. And so one day, he says, I want to show all of y'all my queen, how good looking she is. They were all drunk, been drunk. I'm going to show you how beautiful my king, my queen is. He said, now go call my queen and have her come out here so everybody could take a look at her. So they went to call the queen, and the queen, she said, I ain't coming. Because I know they're drunk. And I know what they want to do. And I'm not going to embarrass myself, you know, coming out there and let all these drunk people look at me, because they're going to tell me to come out here, turn around, let me see you. You know, and there's some commentator said that he wanted her to come out there naked in front of all of these people. She said, I ain't coming. I'm not going to do that. So the king, he was a little upset. But then the other one says, oh, you got a disobedient woman. Your wife disobeys you. So you're going to have to do something with her, because if you don't, our wives are going to hear about what she's done and they're going to do it. And we can't have that. So he says, you got to do something. And so one of them said, you're going to have to divorce her. You're going to have to, she's not going to have to, she can't not be queen anymore of your empire. You got to divorce her because she's been disobedient and disrespectful to you. You know, back then, women was considered as property. Do you know that? Thank God that that's not the case now. Thank God that's not the case now. You know, women are just as important as men. Do you know that? Absolutely, y'all. And I thank God for the women. I thank God for you. And I mean that. But anyway, so her name was Vesta, Vesti. And so he banished her from the kingdom, made her leave. And so one of his servants said, you know, we need to do something, get you a new queen. So we want to all around the whole kingdom, bring the young, prettiest virgins. Gather them all up from around the kingdom and bring them here so we can see which one that will be acceptable to you, king. So they went throughout all the lands and they got all the young women that were virgins that was good looking. And they brought them to Shushan there. And so it had a year that they had to get themselves ready to go before the king to see if the king would accept them or not. So they went through purifications. They had milk baths, you know what I mean? They had all kind of stuff where they were groomed and just all type of thing for a year to make themselves just beautiful so that the king could look at them and see if they were acceptable to him. So all of these women from all around the kingdom, I don't know how many, but it had to be hundreds of them, maybe thousands, came. And so he would call and ask, say, well, bring her down. Nah, not her. Bring her down. Well, no. And then all of a sudden, here come Esther. And he said, when he saw Esther, his knees got weak. Knees got weak. That's the one that I choose to be my queen. Now, little did Esther know, because once again, she had been brought from her family. Her mama and daddy had died, but she had an uncle. She had an uncle that was there. And so anyway, the uncle would stand at the king's gate every day. And there was one man that was a captain of the king's army, and his name was Haman. And so every time he would come and go through the king's gate, everybody would bow down to him. Except this one, Mordecai. He said, I don't bow down to nobody but my God. He said, I don't care what type of title you have. I don't care what you do or who you are. I'm not bowing down to you. Mordecai was furious. Furious. He says, everybody else, all your other countrymen, bowed down. So why aren't you bowing down? Because I don't bow down to no man. Only bow to the God Almighty. So Mordecai was furious. So he came up with this thing was Haman. Haman was furious. And as Haman, you know, once again, Haman was an Agagite. That's very important. An Agagite. And so what he was a descendant of Agag, King Agag. God told King Saul to kill all the Amalekites, which King Agag was the king of. He said, I want you to kill and destroy all of them, because what they would do in the Exodus period, in the Exodus, as people were going through the wilderness, the Amalekites would come in the back, the stragglers, the old, the sick, the weak, and they would attack them. And God says, we're going to clean this up. So he told King Saul, he said, I want you to kill all of them. So King Saul went and killed all of them except King Agag. And some of the sheep and goats and, you know, because God said, kill everything. Kill all the men, kill all the women, kill all the children, kill all of their animals, kill everything of that race. Now, some of y'all said, now that's kind of tough, God saying, kill the women and the little babies and everything else, right? That don't seem right, does it? Let me share with you something. How many in here know about roaches? All right. Now, let me ask you this. Do you spare the women roaches? Do you spare the baby roaches? Why not? They're women and babies. Because they're going to grow up to be big roaches. Amen. They're going to grow up to be big roaches. So you get rid of all of them. So that's the principle that God was saying. But King, like I say, King Saul, he spared some, but Samuel came and he cut King Ahab in pieces. The man of God, the pastor. The pastor went and cut this man to pieces. But there were some that escaped. So Haman was a descendant. He remembered what this Jewish priest did to his king. He hated the Jews. You know, anti-Semitism is so rampant right now. Do you know that? How many people hate the Jewish people and that are coming up against them? But what did Isaiah say? No weapon formed against thee shall prosper. Oh, ain't that what it said? You know, he chose the Jewish nation. God chose them. And he says, I will be with you. So anyway, so we get to this thing where Haman, he says, not only am I going to kill him, Mordecai, I'm going to kill all of his people. I'm going to kill every one of them. Every person that has Jewish blood in them, they're going to die. So he made this thing up and he went to the king. He said, King, there's a man outside the gate that don't reverence you, that will not obey you, not only him, but all of his people. And we got a bunch of his people in our kingdom. So he says, I'm going to give you a bunch of money. I'm going to give you a whole bunch of money. Matter of fact, if it's in this day's term, it would be $20 to $25 million. I'm going to give you this. And all I want you to do is make a decree that we'll kill all of these people, this man and all of his people, because they don't like you. They don't respect you. They will not obey you, your commandments. So we want to kill all of them. And King said, 25 mil? Okay. So he made a decree. And so Haman said, he gave him a date that one day all of the Jews in the kingdom would be killed in one day. He set the date. The king wrote out the proclamation, and he sent it all around the kingdom. And see, the Medes and the Persians and the Medes, when they make a decree or something, you can't change it. And so that one day, everybody who had Jewish blood in them were going to be murdered and killed. And so Mordecai, he went to his little niece, sent a message to her, say, listen, you know, I know you the queen, but this is what the king had put out through all the nation, that every Jewish person is going to be killed. And guess what, niece? You are a Jew. Even though you're a queen, you are a Jew. And their laws are very explicit. They have to follow it to the letter. And so she went back and said, well, you know, I can't do this. He said, you're going to have to. You're going to have to do it. He said, let me tell you something. I believe that you were born for such a time as this. I believe the reason God created you and put you in captivity and brought you here and gave and God gave favor to the king to see you, to love you and say, you're the one that I want. God put you in this position. And another thing, the word of God is not mentioned in this book, not one time. You cannot find the word of God in the book of Esther. But you can see his providence. You can see how he's like the puppet master and he's doing this. I'm going to have this child born. Not I'm going to have a child born, but I'm going to have this child born. She's going to be beautiful. She's going to be beautiful. And she's going to be captive. She's going to be brought to the king. And out of all these thousands of women, she's the one that the king is going to choose to be queen for such a time as this. God created her for such a time as this. And so remember that. Remember that phrase. For such a time as this. See? And so she came to the place, and so she said, Mordecai sent a message to Mordecai. Mordecai, I want you and all the people, as well as me and my servants, we're going to fast and pray for 3 days. We're going to fast and pray for 3 days. For those of you who don't fast, you might want to pray about that. Because that's when things happen. When you got stuff that's going on in your life, you've been praying about it, and it ain't happened yet. Try fasting with it. Try fasting and praying with that. I can't tell you how many people have been healed and blessed in different situations because of fasting and praying. But let me tell you something. Don't go and broadcast it. Don't broadcast it. That's between you and God. But anyway, so she says, I want you to fast and pray for 3 days, and we believe that God is going to intervene. So here we are now at chapter 3. Turn to chapter 3 of Esther. So y'all got what's going on so far, right? All right. The Jewish people are going to be annihilated one day. They got one day that they're going to be annihilated. They sent the decree around all the nations to kill every Jew, not only kill every Jew, take everything that they have. Take everything that they have, all their property, all their money, everything. And let me tell you something. God has given the Jewish people a mind for business. Do you know? Still today, they're great in business. That's a gift from God. And that's why a lot of people hate them. Are you there, chapter 3? Verse 1. After these things did King Ahasuerus promote Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, and advanced him and set him to seat above all the princes that was with him. So God took this man who hated the Jews, who had put this thing out that everybody was going to die. Now the king has promoted him. He's like vice king, vice president. It says, and all the king's servants were in the king's gate and bowed in reverence. And Haman, the king, so the commanded concerning him, but Mordecai bowed not, nor did reverence him. Now, that's we talked about that. And we talked about how Haman saw him and went to the king and said, you know, we want to kill him and all of his people. So now, let's go to chapter 4. Chapter 4, and I'm going to start in verse 13. Now, before we get there, so Mordecai told Esther to go before the king and plead our case. She said, no, I can't do that, because if the king don't call me, if you go before the king and he don't call you, that's instant death. Instant death. Only if he holds out his golden scepter to say, you can come and talk to me. But if not, instant death. And he said, the king hadn't called for me in 30 days, over a month. And so Mordecai said, you need to go. You need to go to the king and plead your case for us. So here we are at verse 13 and 4. Then Mordecai commanded and asked and answered Esther, think not with thyself that thou shalt escape the king's house more than all the Jews. He gonna kill you too. Gotta kill you. For it's altogether holdest thy peace at this time. If thy altogether hold thy peace, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. He says, maybe God will do it in another place, but right now you're the only one that we see that can help us. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed, and who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this. There we go. How do you know that God did not create you to put you in this position for such a time as this? Who else was put in a position for such a time as this in the Bible? Joseph. Joseph was hated by his brothers. They took him and put him in a pit. They were going to kill him, but they sold him to slavery. And we talked about this last week. Miss Potiphar saw him. She wanted him. She was lusting after him, said, come lay with me. He said, no, I can't do this against my God. I can't do this in the God. So he got put in prison. But God was pulling the strings once again to put Joseph in a position to save the Jewish race once again. If it was not for Joseph, there would be no Jewish race today. If it was not for Esther, there would be no Jewish race today. See how God plays it? No weapon formed against you shall prosper. Ain't that what he said? And he's saying that to us also today, church. Because the enemy is coming at us. The enemy is coming at us. So anyway, so at such a time as this, and it says, and then Esther blamed him concerning Mordecai to answer, and he told him to go and do all of this here and fast. So now we go to chapter five, and I'm going to start in verse 2. And it was so when the king saw Esther the queen standing in the court, that she was obtained favor in his sight. And the king held out to Esther the golden scepter that was in his hand. So Esther drew near and touched the top of the scepter. So when king, he saw her standing out there, he said, oh, that's my woman there. Come on. Come on in here. I ain't seen you in about a month. Come on in here, said, found favor in his eyes. Esther had to be fine. For those of you who don't know what fine is, she was really, 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 really a good looking woman. She was a looker. She was a looker. And so anyway, he told her to come on in, honey. And Esther and the king said unto her, what wilt thou, Queen Esther? And what is thy request? What do you want, honey? It shall be given thee to half of the kingdom. Lord have mercy. He said, whatever you want, my queen, I'll give it to you up to half of what I got in the other kingdom. Whatever you want, up to half of my kingdom, you can have. Because you have found favor in my sight. Who put the favor in his sight for Esther? It was God. It was God. See, God is doing all of this. So then So this is what she said. And Esther answered, "If it seems good to the king, let the king and Haman come this day into the banquet that I have prepared for him." And the king says, "Cause Haman to make haste." And he may do as Esther has said. So the king and Haman came into the banquet that Esther had prepared. So here's Haman. See, she knew that Haman had plotted all of this here. So he says, if it seems good, king. See, Esther is plotting a little something. Not only was she pretty, she was very intelligent. She was very intelligent. You know how, I ain't going to say that. I ain't going to say. Y'all know, some of y'all know what I'm about to say. Oh, she's real pretty, but she's, she had it going on. She had it going on. So King, he went and told Haman, "I want to see you." But in the midst of this, before this, Haman had went home and told what was going on with Mordecai. And they said, "Well, you need to hang him. Make a public hanging." So they built a gallows. So we go to that. And so he's building. So he's going to murder Haman. And so anyway, it says verse 9. And when Haman's forth that day joyful and glad in his heart. But when Haman saw Mordecai in the king's gate and he stood up nor moved from him, he was full of indignation against Mordecai. Nevertheless, Haman refrained himself. And when he came home and he sent and he called for his friends and his wife, Zeresh, his wife. And Haman told them the glory of his riches and the multitude of children, and all the things that the king had promoted him and how he had advanced him above all the princes in the service. Haman said, "Moreover, not only did he make me give me a promotion, the queenie Esther did let no man come in with the king into a banquet except me." Oh, he full of himself now. He got a big old head. He got a promotion. And he's coming to the party with just him and the king and the queen and nobody else. Oh, he missed the big stuff now. Oh, he's strutting now. He good to go now. Oh, little did he know. Little did he know. And so anyway, so let's go to, did I go to 14? No, 12. And it says, Haman said, "Moreover, said king and queen, that let no man come to the king in the banquet, and she had prepared for him by myself to tomorrow, and I'm invited to her also with the king. Yet all his avail me nothing, so long as I see Mordecai the Jew sitting in the king's gate." Then said his wife and all the friends unto him, "Let the gallows be made of 50 cubits high, and tomorrow speak thou unto the king that Mordecai may be hanged thereon. Then go thou in merrily with the king and the queen into the banquet." And the thing pleased Haman, and he caused the gallows to be made. Chapter 6, verse 1. And that night, before the banquet, the king could not sleep. And he commanded to be brought forth the book of the records of the chronicles, that they were read before the king. Of all the nights, the king could not sleep that night. The night before, Haman was going to come and tell the king that "I want to hang Mordecai." That night. Was it a coincidence? Absolutely not. There's no coincidences in God. None. There's no coincidences in God. God is in charge of all things. Everything. There's no coincidence in God. And so anyway, the king couldn't sleep. He says, "Go get that chronicle," because, you know, I don't know about you, but when I read a lot, sometimes my. Huh? Nod off. You know it. You know it. Nod off. A lot of times I'm sitting in my chair. I got the Bible in my hand. I'm reading the Bible. Next thing you know, then I got to get up and get me a cup of coffee. I'll do what I got to do. You know what I mean? To get into the Word. But anyway, And it was found written that Mordecai had told the king, that told of Bigthana and Teresh, two of the king's chamberlain, the keepers of the door, who sought to lay hands on the king as a rarest. Haman, years ago, went and told the king that two of your chamberlain are going to kill you. Oh! Mordecai did that. Is that what I said, or did I say Haman? Y'all know who I'm talking about. Y'all know who I'm talking about. I'm excited about this because this is good. This is good. And the king says, what honor and dignity has been done to Mordecai for this? Then the king's servant said, that ministered to him said, there is nothing done for him. What? He saved my life and nothing was done for him? Oh, we got to do something. We got to right this wrong. Let me tell you something. Whenever we do things right, you might not get the blessings right now, but it will come in due time. In due time. What better time? What better time for the king to realize that this man has saved my life and ain't nothing been done to him all this time. But right now, let me tell you something. Something's going to be done for him. Not knowing that there was a gallows waiting for him that next day. So listen to this. This is so good here. And so anyway, it says, and the king said, who is in the court? Now, Haman was to come into the outward court of the king's house to speak unto the king to hang Mordecai on the gallows that he had prepared for him. So Haman, he outside the king's door waiting to come in to say, king, we're going to hang Mordecai tomorrow. He waiting to come in. And so the king said, well, who's out there that we can make this thing right? And they said, well, Haman's out there. Go get him. Go get him. So listen to this. So Haman came in and the king said to him, what shall be done unto the man? See, he didn't say Mordecai. I missed this a lot of the times when I was bringing forth this. He didn't say Mordecai, because if he had said Mordecai, Haman would say, oh, he's the one that we need to kill and all his people. It would have caused a little discrepancy. But the king says, what should be done to the man whom the king delighteth to honor? Now, Haman thought in his heart, to whom the king delight to do honor more than himself. He said, the king talking about me. He talking about me because he's promoted me. We're going to go to the party with just me and the king and the queen. So I know he's talking about me. So he's strutting. He's feeling good. You know, back when I was a kid, you know, my grandmother said, boy, you smelling yourself. That's an old term back there. What it is, prideful. It was a prideful thing. And so anyway, he thought he was talking to himself. And Haman answered the king, for the man whom the king delighted to honor, which, no, it got to be me. Let the royal appeal be brought, which the kings used to wear, and the horse that the king rided upon, and the crown royal, which is set upon his head. Put the crown on my head, put the king's robe on me, and put me on the king's horse. That's what should happen to the man, to me, what he's saying to himself. And let this apparel of the horse be delivered into the hand of the one of the king's most noble princes, that they may arrive the man withal whom the king delighted to honor, and bring him on horseback through the streets of the city, so everybody can see me, and proclaim before him, thus shall it be done to the man whom the king delighted to honor. This is what I want you to do for me, King. Yes. Walk me through the streets on your horse with your crown, with your robe on. And let everybody know that I'm your man. Let everybody know that. And the king said to Haman, make haste and take the apparel and the horse as thou hast said, and do even so to Mordecai the Jew. Ooh! Ooh! Can you see him? Can you imagine? Because he all puffed up. He can imagine himself on the horse with the crown, with the robe on. He just saw himself going through the streets. Come on, yeah, I'm the man. I'm the man. Scotty, I'm the man. Yes. He saw himself in that. He's like, yes. And when he says, do it to Mordecai, the Jew, whew, that sitteth at the king gate, he said, let nothing fail of all that thou hast spoken. Can you imagine how his heart sank? Can you imagine the thought that went through his head? Are you kidding me? This man who I hate, now I got to take the horse and go through the streets and say, this is the man that the king delighteth in. See how good God is. See how good God is. Oh, he hates this man. He wants to kill this man. Now all of a sudden, God flips the switch. And he has to go and tell the whole city, this is the man that the king honors. Not me, but him. Oh, God has a way of humbling us, don't he? Oh, my goodness. He hates pride. Pride goes before a fall. So anyway, so Mordecai came against the king's gate, but Haman hasted to his house in mourning, whining, and having his head covered. And Haman told his wife and all of his friends everything that had befallen him. Then his wise men and his wife said unto him, if Mordecai be the seed of the Jews before whom thou hast begun to fall, thou shalt not prevail against him, but shall surely fall before him. And while they were yet talking with him, came the king's chamberlain and hasted to bring Haman into the banquet that Esther had provided. After he had been made shame and not did what according to what he thought. Now, remember, Mr. Big Stuff? You went and told your wife and all your buddies and everything, I'm going to the banquet with me and the queen and the king, nobody else. So they said, it's time for the banquet, Mr. Man. How do you think that as he was going into the palace to go into the party, what type of continence you think he was? Remember, he was all happy and joyous before. And then it says, verse 2. And the king said unto him, Esther, on the second day of the banquet, he says, what is this petition, Queen Esther? What do you want? You said that you wanted something from me. Now here we are at the party. We're at the banquet. Now what is it that you want, my queen? And it shall be granted thee. And what is thy request? And it shall be performed even to half of the kingdom. And Esther the queen answered and said, if I have found favor in the sight of the king, and if it please the king, let my life be given to me as a petition, and my people at my request. We are sold, I and my people, to be destroyed, to be slain and to perish. But if we have been sold a bondman and bondwomen, I would have held my tongue, although the enemy could not countervail the king's damage. And King Ahasuerus answered and said unto his beautiful woman queen, who is he that did this? He furious now. You mean to tell me that somebody in my kingdom has said that they're going to kill you and all your people who I love, who you found favor in my sight? Who is that man? Oh, he hot now. He hot now. And so anyway, said, who is he? And where, and not only who, where is he? Who is he and where is he? And what doeth presume in his heart to do so? Why did he even purpose in his heart to do something like this? And Esther said, the adversary, the enemy, is this wicked Haman. Wicked. Hey, remember, it was only three of them at the party. Haman, he's sitting over there with his head down. And when she said, it's this wicked Haman, the one that you have promoted, the one that you have put so much confidence in and everything else, it was him. And Haman was afraid. No, he was more than afraid. He was scared. That's worse than scared. When you're scared, that's worse than scared. And he was afraid before the king and the queen. And the king, listen, and the king arising from the banquet of wine in his wrath, went to the palace garden, and Haman stood up to make request of his life to Esther, the queen. And he saw that there was evil determined against him by the king. The king got up, and he, because he couldn't believe it. Haman was his guy. But now, his guy was going to kill his girl. So King says, I need to think about this for a moment. I'm hot and I'm heated. I'm hot and I'm heated. So who am I going to be faithful to? So he went out into the garden, you know, to think about it, because he's hot. And listen to what happened. This is so good. This is so good. And the king rising, and it says, Haman, he saw that there was evil determined against him by the king. And the king returned out of the garden palace, because he had figured out what I'm going to do now, into the place of the banquet of wine. And Haman fell upon the bed where his Esther was. Esther, you know, because back then they had little lounge things and they would lay on them. You know, they would lay down on them, you know. So she lay on things. So here come Haman. Oh, queen, I'm so sorry. And the king came in and saw him on the bed with his wife. Oh. And the king said, are you trying to lay with my wife? Are you crazy? Oh. He said, he told it to the chamberlain. He said, come get him right now and hang him. Come get him right now and hang him. And one of them said, well, there's a gallows out there that he had made. No weapon formed against thee shall prosper. What the enemy tried to do, because the enemy's trying to kill us. Do you know that? The enemy's trying to kill us, to steal and destroy us. But God says, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. And even those who tongue rise up against you, I got something for them. So we should have no fear. That's what God says. God didn't give you the spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. The enemy is coming, church. The enemy is coming, church. Like no ever time in the history of mankind. Are you prepared? Are you ready to stand with Jesus? Are you ready for whatever comes and is coming? Are you ready to stand for Jesus? Or are you going to be like those one when the guys come in with the guns, ran out of here, except just a few committed? Now we can have church, they said, because we know that you're real. We know that you're real. Let me tell you something. Time to get real for Jesus is now. All this hopscotching and up and down and playing and all that kind of stuff, that season is over. That season is over. If you out here not right, let me tell you something. There will be a judgment. there will be accountability. Oh, Lord, Lord, we've healed the sick. We cast out demons in your name. I came to the First Baptist Church for years. I went to the Bible studies. I sang in the worship team. Oh, I did the sound booth. I was an usher. I was a deacon, elder. What do you mean? Depart from me. I never knew you. You pretended. You pretended. See, because you want everybody else to think that you was a godly, holy person. But I know your heart. And today is the day that you stand before me. Not tomorrow. Not tomorrow. See, ain't no do-over. Oh, Lord, well, give me one more day and I'll get right. Because he's given you today to get right. He's given you weeks and months and years to get right. But you still. You still. And the reason I'm saying this is because I love you. Because I love you. And I don't want you to hear them words, depart from me, I never knew you. Because when it comes to that, there's no do-overs. There's no do-overs. Today is today to get real with Jesus, if you're not already. Now, I know a lot of you already. But just in case, there might be one in here. Might be one. Today is the day. And if you want to hear God says, well done, my good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of the Lord. Today is the day to get real. Because tomorrow is not planned. The next hour is not planned. Today is the day. Now, I know some of y'all say, well, Pastor, you do this every week. You do an altar call every week. And I'm going to do it every week as long as God gives me breath. I'm going to do it. Because you never know. You never know who's sitting out here that have not surrendered your life to Jesus Christ. For real. For real. Not just when you're in trouble. Not when you're excited. You know, I don't want you to respond because of anything that I've said or done. But if you're feeling the unction of the Holy Ghost, because God says, you didn't choose me, I chose you. And what's happening, so many people are choosing God. I want to surrender to you, God. I want to make a decision for you. No, no, no. If that's, that's not biblical. That's not biblical. And that's what's happening in the church today. There are many on that broad road that are being deceived because they have chose, not have yielded to the choosing by the Holy Spirit. When you're truly chose by the Holy Spirit, you cannot stay the same. It's impossible to stay the same. So if you continue to live your life the way that you've been living it before you have come down here and prayed the prayer, you need to get real today. You need to get real today. Because tomorrow is not promised. So if that's you, that you're sitting out there and the Holy Spirit is stirring you, be obedient. Be obedient today and get up and come. Be obedient and get up and come. Nobody's going to judge you. Nobody's going to judge you. Because in this church, nobody can throw no rocks. None of us. If that's you today, come and get real. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Now, this is your first time coming, right? This is your first time coming, right? Second time? Okay. When did you come? Did you come last week?
I think it was 2 or 3 weeks ago.
3 weeks in a row, you get a cookie.
What kind? Chocolate chip?
Whatever you want.
Okay.
All right. But anyway, have you ever surrendered your life to Jesus?